Welcome to the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Dead Soxy, hosted by RebelGrove.com publisher Neil McCready, and featuring RebelGrove.com and Rivals.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast is your number one podcast dedicated to Ole Miss football and basketball recruiting.
Caution, you are about to enter the no-spin zone.
Featuring guests from throughout the Rivals.com network, the Soft Verbal Podcast tells you what is happening and what's going to happen on the recruiting trail, and it does it in style. Just like Dead Soxy.
I'm better looking than you.
Visit DeadSoxy.com and enter Rebel Grove at checkout for 25% off your order of the best dress socks you'll ever wear. Now here's your host, Neil McCready.
Welcome into the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. I'm Neil McCready, Russell Johnson of Rivals.com. And RebelGrove.com is with me on the Patterson and Earhart hotline as well. We'll get to him in just a moment. First, let me tell you about Dead Soxy. We've been telling you for a while that Dead Soxy would be informing you of new products and opportunities. They're pleased to announce a way for you, the Rebel Grove Soft Verbal community, to be a part of the process in the creation of new sock concepts. There's still limited quantities, though, of the Mississippi sock line that are available. And they need to get rid of those before they launch the new line. And to do that, they are increasing the discount to 30% off all items. As this original Mississippi line comes to a conclusion, don't miss your opportunity to feel the difference a quality sock makes. There will be new concept pictures forthcoming, and they're going to ask you, the listener, to give them honest feedback and input as to what resonates with you. So for all of you out there who've tried out a single pair or a couple pairs, now's the time to round out your week's worth with the 30% off. If you haven't tried Dead Soxy, now would be a great time. Go to the site, order a pair, enter code REBELGROVE at checkout. You get 35% off all items at checkout. And then I'm always a guy that tries to keep it real. Russell can vouch for that. Here's keeping it real. Support Dead Soxy. It's supporting this podcast. It is supporting Russell. It is keeping this podcast going. So if you're on the fence about needing some, whether you need socks or not, whether you need dress socks, first of all, they're a great product. They're fantastic. They're worth every cent. They hold up. They stay up. They hold up after washing and drying and all of that. It's a great sock. They look great. They feel great. They stay up. You'll love them, and you'll be supporting this podcast by doing it and keeping this podcast as part of our MPW digital family of podcasts. I'm coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle, no haggle. It's just an easy car buying experience. We'll make it even better for you. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Soft Verbal Podcast or any of our family of podcasts, and you'll save an additional $500 off the already great line, great bottom line. Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. Russell, how are you, sir?
Doing good. You should have seen the reaction up here when it snowed. Like I warned you about that big snowstorm we were getting. It appears that I've brought the southern hospitality in terms of the treatment of the snow. It literally took, I would say, 3 or 4 days before any of the roads were plowed or anything. I felt like I was back in Oxford for a little bit.
Yeah, it was funny. I was in Midway on Sunday flying back, and the lady behind me in the TSA line was from Cleveland. She'd been in Chicago and was supposed to have gone back a day or so earlier, but had gotten snowed in Chicago. She was on her way back to Cleveland, and she was talking about how Cleveland had been hit pretty hard and was more shut down than usual.
Yes, it was definitely, you could say, shut down. I believe there was some kind of driving ban where you couldn't go anywhere on Sunday unless you had to go to work or something like that. I mean, it was different than anything I'd ever seen, you know, being up here for several years.
She told me, when she said, "Where do you live?" And I told her I lived in Oxford, Mississippi. She didn't believe me. I had to finally show her my ID. She did not believe that I lived in Mississippi. She said I didn't have anything resembling a Southern accent, that there was no way that I lived in Mississippi. She thought I was from Chicago or somewhere up there.
Well, see, I would take that as a, I don't know if I'd call it a compliment, but I would think that'd be something to almost be proud of, you know, being in the South so long and not having any type of, you know, Southern drawl or anything like that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't think, number one, I don't think either of my parents really have a Southern accent, and they've been in the South their entire lives. I mean, I guess I kind of made a conscious decision, like, fairly early in life because I thought I wanted to be in TV, and that was before I knew I was going to be as hideously ugly as I am. I thought I wanted to be in television, and so I knew that you can't be in TV, at least, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s and you know, going to college and stuff in the 90s, you couldn't go into television with a Southern drawl and be like mainstream TV. There's no way. You couldn't do that. And so I was conscious of it, but it wasn't like it was a big priority. I didn't make it a concentrated thing, but as I've gotten older, I don't think I have a whole lot of Southern accent at all. And it's not that I think it's Southern accent's a bad thing or whatever. I don't have one, which is kind of odd given that I've lived my entire life in the South.
Yeah, I mean, I got to agree with that, definitely.
She didn't believe me, though. It was kind of funny. She kept saying, there's no way. And I said, where do you think I'm from? And she said, well, you're probably from, like, Illinois or Ohio or something like that. And I'm like, nope, never lived in Illinois, never lived in Ohio. Anyway. All right, speaking of visiting and traveling, it is a big weekend coming up. I'm going to get to that in a minute, but first, last week on the podcast, you sort of dropped it as a little hint. It has become a big topic of conversation over the course of the last week or so. So as we get, 2 weeks away from signing day?
Yep, less than 2 weeks now, 13 days.
13 days. What's the latest on Byron Young?
So Byron Young, who ended up taking that visit this past weekend, he enjoyed himself, everything. You know, I had posted on the message board and about the, you know, the post-visit bump that almost every school gets. It was prevalent there again for Ole Miss as well. Now, his family, it's a different type of family. They are not your typical Mississippians, I guess is a good way to put it. They aren't attracted to the things that other people are attracted to. So their visit was basically, I mean, the entire weekend, being that he was the only official visitor, he got the red carpet treatment, and everything that the staff members did and everything that the coaches did was based around Byron Young and doing what they could to land Byron Young. He's not going to get that treatment this weekend at Mississippi State. He's not going to get that treatment this weekend at LSU. He's just not going to get it. Mississippi State, I think, is hosting close to 20 kids this weekend. And LSU next weekend, everybody knows they're going to host more than just Byron Young. So I would say that goes to Ole Miss's advantage. And then you also have to remember he is still currently committed to the University of Alabama. And even though he was a little bit turned off by all of the staff changes and the turnover and really not his words, his tweet about how them leaving like it was nothing. That kind of sits with a lot of recruits and potential, I guess, Crimson Tide players the wrong way.
What do you mean? How does that bother them?
Because you see, I mean, I guess Byron Young doesn't really pay much attention to the, not mainstream media, but, you know, like in the past, like just last year, Alabama replaced several coaches. And for him to, you know, build those relationships with, you know, Pete Golding and the defensive lineman who they, D-line coach they got from the University of Miami, and for them to just be willing to leave with the other coaches, I don't think either one of his position coaches left. Obviously, Golding ended up staying, and I believe Kuglow is still there as well. So neither one of those left, but, I mean, just to see the entire offensive staff just flee, I mean, that could at least spark some kind of worry for kids who are, as much as everybody would love them to, commit to a school and not a coach, they're committing to coaches.
Oh, yeah, sure. So people always love your predictions. I'm the bad guy that took away all the flames because I thought the reaction was somewhat ridiculous. But regardless, what's kind of your 13 days out? What's sort of your prediction on Young? Or is it absolutely too impossible to call right now?
Right now, I think it's going to come down to Ole Miss and Mississippi State. How could LSU change that next weekend? Kind of how LSU tried their best to get in on the December targets for Ole Miss really late, even early national signing day morning late. Yeah, I mean, you could see that take place. But for Young right now, I would say it's either sticking with Alabama, which I would still call the front runner, or flipping to one of the in-state schools. And we'll have to wait and see how his visit in Starkville goes this weekend before I can really give any even somewhat accurate or educated guess.
Okay.
Or prediction.
All right. Big weekend coming up in Oxford. As of you and I were talking right before we got started, if you had to guess at the number of kids coming this weekend, what's sort of your range? What's the high and the low?
I would say the high would be 12, and I would say the low would be 8. At first, it appeared as if there was going to be, you know, closer to 20 kids coming this weekend to Oxford and to, you know, the big – they want to do just one big weekend and blow it up with, you know, the students being back, the early enrollees being on campus and being able to help recruit. And they had all of that building up, and they had been hyping this weekend up for so long that for fans and for people who had, you know, kind of been keeping track of the visit list that we keep track of on rebelgrove.com, the number has dropped significantly just in the past couple of days, and even just another one dropped off an hour ago.
So the guys that I know have dropped, at least what I've heard, Maurice Hampton, MJ Devonshire, and DJ James, all three of those guys have dropped off. Are those guys that are off the board now?
Devonshire is the one I'm a little iffy to completely write off. His situation is getting weird. He's from PA. He's about 2 hours from where I'm at right now in Alkaipa. And Pitt is really, really hard on him. And for the longest time, Ohio State was thought to be the one who's going to come in, get that last official visit, and get him committed. And they never did that. They got a cornerback back that I had mentioned. I think it was last week when we returned on the podcast that they got a cornerback to return that they didn't expect to return. And because of that, he doesn't have a spot there. So that's kind of opened things up. And then what Kentucky's seen is they've seen an opportunity. They see a cornerback who's at least semi-local, a lot closer to Kentucky, University of Kentucky than he is the University of Mississippi. And they've been able to secure the official visit for this weekend. Now, will he end up taking the trip this next weekend, the first weekend in February, where Ole Miss is trying to host as many, you know, high-profile, talented junior prospects they can? I mean, we'll see about that. I mean, but they are starting to rack up the visitors for next weekend for defensive backs. Another one who canceled recently was Adonis Ote from the Nashville area, currently committed to Arkansas. He was originally going to go to Ole Miss this weekend and USC next weekend, and instead he's going to USC this weekend, and he's at least currently planning to visit Ole Miss next weekend. I can tell you for a fact there's going to be at least 4 or 5 other schools that try to get that visit away from Ole Miss, and it'll be interesting to see just how much they fight for that. Now getting to DJ James, the cornerback from Spanish Fort, who was committed to Mississippi State, decommitted, and committed to Oregon over the weekend and since we last recorded. With him, his recruitment shut down. He's not taking any other visits. So I would take him off the board.
Okay, so the guys that are coming in, you mentioned one of the Arkansas commitments. Another is the running back, Spivey. I know there had been, obviously, Arkansas desperately wanted him not to visit Ole Miss or anywhere else probably here this weekend. As of this recording, 11:40 in the morning on Thursday, you're expecting Spivey to be in Oxford. Is that right?
Yes, 100%. Well, there's no 100% some recruiting. I would go about 91%, 95%, somewhere around there. I would say there's a really, really, really high chance. I talked to him yesterday. I talked to him Monday, and he seems like he's looking forward to getting to Oxford and to seeing the running backs coach and just taking the visit in. I mean, he's been to Oxford, I think it was in March of last year, so it's not his first trip or anything.
What are the odds, in your opinion, of him flipping?
I would say those odds are – I would say they're higher than they are for some of the other targets that they're in on who are committed to other schools. If you made me guess the two most likely prospects to flip, I would say Amante Spivey, and I would say the defensive tackle from Mobile, Ladarius Cox. Those would be my two. And that goes into, again, I mean, just last year, you saw how many kids Ole Miss was signing out of the state of Alabama, and it seems like they're going to tap back into that, at least in the February signing period.
Well, they have a lot of contacts in Alabama. It's a loaded state. Alabama recruits nationally. Auburn can't take them all. And with guys like Roach and Siski and guys like that on that staff, there's a lot of contacts. It makes sense. It's just, this is me giving some opinion here as someone who lived in that state for a decade, or actually more than that. You have to be you just have to be really, really good at evaluating in that state, because you're not going to get kids that Alabama wants. You're not going to get kids at the top of Auburn's wish list. So you've got to make sure that when you're taking, for lack of a better word, leftovers, that you're taking really good leftovers. You have to make sure that you're doing a really strong job of evaluating, you know, kind of high three-star type of players.
Yeah, I mean, you can't afford to miss when you're taking those kind of players. And those are the kind of players that are the difference between a 5-7 season and a 7-5 season. And whether or not they end up making an impact and, you know, become potential all-conference players or anything like that, or whether or not they become just depth. I mean, you could see either one of those. I mean, they make an impact on a game, especially in the SEC, where depth is so important.
Well, in high school football in Alabama is better than it is in Mississippi right now from a depth standpoint, not necessarily from a star standpoint, but from a depth standpoint, it's a little better. And there are some high caliber programs that play at a really high level that you can get more guys that are college ready from a knowledge standpoint because of the complicated schemes and such that they run. It's easier for them to get a grasp on the college game. Although, you know, I think Mississippi's closing that gap. I think a lot of the 7-on-7 has helped because, you know, these kids are now more familiar with some of the more sophisticated passing schemes and stuff like that. I mean, it's not a rip job at all. It's an interesting thing when you recruit those kids because there's a lot of reward that can be gained there. You just have to make sure you're recruiting. You got to make sure you're doing a really good job of evaluating potential. Alabama can afford, and Auburn can afford to some degree to punt on potential and get instant guys. If you're any other program not named Alabama and Auburn recruiting in that state, with rare exception, you're having to make sure you're doing a strong job of evaluating what the potential is, what the ceiling is. Let's talk about some of the other guys. We've talked about Cox. We've talked about Spivey. So there's Mingo, Soapshire, and then, of course, John Reese Plumlee, that are three of the other guys that are coming. Touch on those guys briefly on what's going on with them right now.
So Jonathan Mingo went to Mississippi State over the weekend, and then he was there. His 2020 quarterback, Will Rogers, was there. Will Rogers ended up committing, and it seemed as if State was, you know, kind of, at least in their head and in the national perspective head, it seems like State is, you know, gaining some traction there. And I would say that they are gaining some traction, but I would say that the thing that is killing them right now, and which is why I still think that Georgia and or Florida State are the two schools to worry about for him and his commitment to Ole Miss, is that they don't have a receivers coach. Luke Getsy decided to go back to the NFL. He gets to work with Aaron Rodgers. And the opportunity for him to do that, I mean, he wasn't going to say no to that. And then you also saw some other coaches. Mississippi State's running back coach left, and he's at the University of Alabama now. And those kind of moves – those are the kind of moves that can affect a program like Mississippi State this close to signing day. Now, with Ish Sofshu, Ole Miss has never been given a shot, and I still don't really think they have a true legitimate chance to land him away from Alabama and LSU. Now, with his brother officially – well, it's not official yet, but he's going to end up becoming a class of 2020 recruit. You're going to see all these schools – they're going to promise Ish the world. They're going to promise him that they're going to offer his brother. And then if Sofshire doesn't pan out, they're obviously not going to offer his brother. And he's going to end up in the JUCO circuit in 2 years or less. I'm not calling that a prediction. I'm just saying that that is something that you could definitely see. Like when you see the things going on, you see the interviews going on, and you see everything taking place, you see his performance in the Under Armour game, you start to wonder about whether or not he's worth that extra scholarship, whether or not he's worth the pain and suffering of, you know, potentially taking two initials up at a school where scholarships are at a premium right now. And to be honest, Ole Miss needs every scholarship that they have, whether they use it in the 2019 class in the next 2 weeks or whether they use it in the grad transfer market. We'll see. But they need each one of those scholarships, and they can't afford to already have one committed in Rodney Sopcher a year ahead of time.
What about Plumlee?
Plumlee has visited Auburn, Mississippi State, and then Miami and Florida State are both in the picture a little bit. I would say Florida State's more in the picture than Miami right now. Ole Miss, I would give them the second best chance other than Georgia still. He is clearly committed to Georgia, even though they did offer him a blue shirt. And with that, you know, Plumlee has really been open to other schools and to options. And really, I mean, he's been able to take the trips that he didn't think he was going to be able to take. I mean, he got to visit Auburn, like I said. He visited Mississippi State. He's going to Ole Miss this weekend. And he's getting that treatment and the dual sport athlete treatment, which is something that he is really excited about and really wants the opportunity to be able to do at the next level.
All right, so we touched on five guys or so that you expect here over the weekend. Who are the other guys that you expect? And then who are the kind of maybe the three or four that are iffy?
Okay, so I expect Lakia Henry to be there, the four-star JUCO linebacker. Arkansas is in the mix heavily. Texas is going to get a visit next weekend. With him, he was able to get his grades right. It was never really about the grades. It was more so about the credits and getting enough credits to play in the SEC, which is why you see Texas so heavily in the mix, and you saw Florida State try to make a run in there. I mean, for some reason, you see Florida State make a run at almost everybody in the February signing period. This is the second year in a row where you see Florida State and Texas A&M. You see those two types of schools who will go in on everybody, at least initially, just to try to, you know, get their name out there and just see what happens. With Lakia Henry, I think that Ole Miss being the second-to-last official visit for him, you know, could really help them. Do I expect him to commit on the spot on the visit? No. Do I expect any commitments to come straight off the weekend? No, I do not. But does that mean that Ole Miss has no recruiting momentum and that the world is burning on rebelgrove.com? Well, the world is probably burning on rebelgrove.com, but it does not mean that Ole Miss doesn't have any type of recruiting momentum, and it doesn't mean that things are going any different than they hope or plan. And then the other ones who will be a big part of the weekend is Brandon Mack, the kid that wanted to commit on Christmas from Montgomery. He'll be there in his job, basically. He'll be the 11th or 12th. He'll be the 12th member of the staff because Patrick Lucas will be there as well on his official visit, who signed in December from Wetumpka. And they will both be in charge of getting Ladarius Cox to flip and doing their best they can with Amonte Spivey. Those four know each other really well, and they're in constant communication. I don't know if they have a group message or what, but they talk every day. And the pressure, no, I wouldn't call it pressure, the influence that Ole Miss hopes they can have on those two prospects is exactly why Lucas waited so long to take his visit and why they were able to secure me and shut that down before the dead period even ended.
All right, let's touch on a couple more guys before we transition to some other topics. What's the latest on Nathan Pickering? What's the latest on Caleb Etienne?
So Nathan Pickering is he's someone that I talk about on the board. I talk about in other places, and people cringe because he's been committed to Mississippi State for so long. He's taken official visits to all kinds of schools, and he, at least for the time being, was flirting around with visiting Ole Miss. Now, and then he was also flirting around visiting Oregon. I mean, he's flirting around with schools, and then you'll see where he's going to end up this weekend, which is Mississippi State, where I fully expect him to end up signing. This will probably be the last we talk about him before signing day, but, I mean, Pickering is an elite talent and somebody who is going to have a chance to make an impact. But his recruitment has been I don't know if I'd call it your typical Mississippi recruitment, but I would call it your typical Mississippi recruitment. You commit to an in-state school, you flirt with other schools, you maybe at least put out there that you might go visit the other in-state school, and then you don't, and then you sign with that school in February. Caleb Etienne, you'd asked about, he is still, quote, verbally, end quote, committed to Ole Miss. He will be at Nichols this weekend. Nichols offered. Indiana was looking at him. Indiana, I believe, passed or hasn't made a final decision yet. That recruitment will end on February 6th, and I still don't expect him to be signing with Ole Miss whatsoever.
So you've cut out the lattes, you've put in those Curly Q light bulbs, and you've brown bagged your lunch to work, but it still feels like payday keeps getting here a day or two late, a few hundred dollars short. Well, try this. Give State Farm agent Wally Morgan a call. Tell him you'd like a free discount double check. It's a line-by-line review of your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discounts you deserve, like 10% for being a good driver, another 10% if your teenage driver happens to be a good student, and 17% for simply combining your car and home policies. Add all those State Farm discounts up. It's pretty easy to see how you could be saving hundreds of dollars each year. So get started today by giving State Farm agent Wally Morgan in New Albany, Mississippi a call, 662-539-7062, because being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Discounts may vary state to state. All right, Russell, a couple of kind of big topic, non-football recruiting specific issues, meaning we're not talking about a certain kid. A lot of talk about the transfer portal here in the last few weeks. Is that complicating things nationally for programs?
Oh, it is. It is doing more than complicating things. It is completely taking whatever plan they had in place before they realized how large this portal was going to get. And it is, they're throwing you in the trash can, completely starting over. Because you have so many kids in the portal. I mean, you have almost 2,000 kids are in the transfer portal, 1,934 as of about noon Eastern today. That would be the equivalent of every initial scholarship, 25 a team, for 77 schools.
It's amazing. I think it's – you and I might have different opinions on it. I'm always pro-kid. I'm for it. I think if a kid is in an uncomfortable spot and he already knows, hey, I probably made a mistake. I think it's great for a kid to be able to do it without, you know, to be able to explore what every option that he's going to have to kind of have a do-over in recruiting. I know a lot of people don't feel that way for whatever reason. I guess I know the reason I feel that way. Assistant coaches are making seven figures. If a kid's at a place and it's not working out, he, and in Olympic sports, she deserves the right to explore his or her options. That's just my thoughts. I think you disagree. I'm not sure.
I do disagree. I think that it is completely changing the market. Not the market. Well, I say market. That's a bad way to put recruiting. But that it is completely changing the way the game is done, because you've got these three-star kids who, you know, are blowing up and picking up these offers from big-time schools, and then you've got these big-time schools who are losing the depth that they had built to the transfer market. Whether or not, I mean, they could be in the, you can be in the portal and take your name out, which is something that I don't know if that's known, but you can take your name out of the portal.
You can, but to put your name in the portal, you've got to go talk to your current school. You got to have a really difficult conversation to put your name in the portal.
Yes.
So look, here's the bottom line. You're not going to see many happy kids, happy with their playing time, happy with their environment, happy with their coaches, jump in the transfer portal to go, hey, I'm going to find out what my market is. That's not realistic. That's not how the world works. The people that are going to get in the portal, for the most part, are going to be kids who aren't getting playing time, not happy with their coaches, not happy where they are. It's mostly going to be unhappy kids. I know there's going to be exceptions, but that is going to be the majority of who's in that portal.
It may be. It may be. But see, the thing that I'm not sure if it is known also is that these kids, when they signed in high school, they took one of the 25 initials that that school was allowed to have. When they sign again as a grad transfer, not a grad transfer, when they like transfer in somewhere, that counts as an initial as well. So you've got one kid counting as two initials towards a school. One, hurting the school he's leaving, and two, affecting the school that he's going to. So in my opinion, if the NCAA is going to make a thing of this and to continue to do it the way they're doing, number one, they need to make the portal a lot more user-friendly and efficient. And number two, they shouldn't count towards the initials.
All right, speaking of the transfer portal, Ole Miss is scouring it probably by the hour. How much do you anticipate Ole Miss getting into the transfer portal between now, say, and the end of the spring semester in terms of getting kids in who either are going to be on a practice squad or potentially playing in 2019?
They want Lawrence Cager, the wide receiver from Miami. They want him bad. I believe they're actually going to see him today. Wide receiver coach Jacob Peeler will be in Florida to see Cager, or wherever Cager's at currently. I don't know if he's still – yeah, he is, because he's back at the University of Miami finishing up his degree because he is a grad transfer. You've got him. Marquez Ezard put his name in the transfer portal yesterday and already heard, I think he told me yesterday, from over 30 schools within – 10 hours, maybe. It was insane. He said it was one of the craziest days he's ever had. And I mean, he just did his high school recruitment this time last year. He was visiting Ole Miss and Miami and other schools. And Ole Miss is one of those schools who was in contact with him yesterday. He's going to visit Georgia Tech this weekend. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But after that, Ole Miss could get a visit. Maryland may get a visit. I mean, there's tons of schools in his recruitment that are going to get a visit. And another thing when, you know, you get these kids in the portal is that some of them want to take their time and make a decision. And you see Jalen Hurts make a decision within, what was it, a week that he committed to Oklahoma. And it seemed as if a lot of these kids kind of have a destination in mind when they go in the portal, which if that's the case, I don't have a problem with that.
It's almost as if some of the recruiting is going on before they get in the portal. I know that would never happen. But it's almost like there's been contact before they get in the portal.
Exactly, and that could never happen. That would be against the NCAA protocol.
Yeah, nobody would do that. Nobody is violating the rules. No, sir.
But the thing is with the NCAA and the transfers and Ole Miss is that two kids, like I said, Ezard and then Charles Strong, the running back from Texas A&M, who Ole Miss was in on all the way to the end last year before A&M ended up getting him, and Ole Miss kind of just I wouldn't call it backed off. They realized they had lost and turned around and looked elsewhere to the Tyler Knight. But what happened with that is I don't expect Ole Miss to show interest in him, but like I said, they have been in touch with Ezard, and they obviously have been in touch with Lawrence Cager. They want to get Cager on a visit pretty soon, and if they can do that, they've got a real shot.
You have to also be careful as a program that you become a fallback choice where a kid goes, okay, I like Ole Miss, but this program is higher profile right now, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to sign here, and I'm going to give it a year, and if it doesn't work out, I'll go back to Ole Miss. At some point, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, and Ole Miss might not be to this point yet, but at some point you've got to be able to put your foot down and go, no, we're not going to play that way.
I agree. I think that's what will separate them, that could separate them potentially, you know, from whether or not they're able to take that next step as a football program and really just as an athletics standpoint. I mean, even basketball recruiting, we saw it happen to Ole Miss and watching it take place as other schools were getting in there. Other schools were getting in-home visits and taking in-home visits and getting official visits. And then, because Ole Miss gets an official visit and they get such a large post-visit bump that it seems as if they're going to get a kid. And then I don't know if that's just the way Oxford goes or what, but then when they go to these other schools, that bump goes away rather quickly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about how that stuff works. I visited a bunch of schools with Campbell, and it's a completely different deal, obviously. And she was the total opposite of that. She fell in love with one school and really kind of closed her eyes to everything else. I mean, because we visited other schools after that where I didn't even think she really gave it a chance. There's no way she's completely different from every other kid, but I don't know. I think every kid's different. I just, you know.
Did you see the diagnosis for Oladipo?
No. What is? Is it how bad?
Ruptured his quad tendon. Ruptured his quad tendon in his right knee.
What does that mean?
He's done for the year. He's undergoing surgery. That's bad. Bad news.
It was hard to look at it. It was hard to look at it. Yeah, I was laughing at something else, not at Victor Oladipo. That was distressing last night. Actually, that was kind of the end of my TV night. I just said, that's it, I'm done.
Mir.
So that's three guys. Do you anticipate that there's more out there in the transfer portal, or are those kind of the names to keep an eye on for now?
There's quite a few others. As Chase reported, Eric Swinney's in there. AJ Harris was obviously in there. The name is escaping me. Ordway, I believe, is still there. I don't know if he picked a new school yet. I don't know what's going to happen there. But yeah, I mean, Ole Miss is going to be active. That's going to be their almost secondary recruiting thing. You're not going to see next weekend, you're not going to see a bunch of 2-stars and 3-stars coming in for official visits just because they want to fill those spots. My opinion, if they don't get who they want this weekend, and they kind of start feeling that way as things are heading towards signing day, they're going to push harder for those transfers, whether they're grad transfers who are really eligible, or they're the players who, you know, have to sit a year and then will be able to make an impact. They'll be able to practice and do that kind of stuff. I mean, both of those players, I mean, Ole Miss could use at certain positions. Grad transfers are always important, especially if you can get one at tight end right now for Ole Miss. But picking up a transfer at a position such as running back, where you have to sit a year and you let Scotty Phillips run out his eligibility and then you're eligible. So, I mean, that would be something that I could see Ole Miss heavily pursuing.
What about transfer quarterbacks? Because I fully anticipate they're going to take one if they can get one. What do you hear there?
Does that quarterback have the last name Rodriguez?
Well, that would be an easy one to take that would not be a threat in the eyes of Matt Corral, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what they're, I wouldn't say afraid of. I wouldn't say they're hesitant. I would say they're cautious about it. You don't want to take, you didn't want to take Jalen Hurts. I mean, heck, if he wanted to play at Ole Miss, he would have played at Ole Miss. You know what I mean? But with Corral being there and being the expected starter, I don't know if Luke named him officially or anything like that, but he's expected to be the starting quarterback, and they're expecting him to be quite good, and they're expecting him to be quite good, and he has 4 years of eligibility remaining, to the point to where they're not going to take somebody who they expect to – I mean, they want somebody who's going to push him, because I'm not sure Tisdale or Dent can push him. I would say Dent has a better chance to push him than Tisdale does, but Tisdale has the tools in to Rich Rod's offense to make an impact. I mean, I'm going to touch on that for a second, because – Tisdale became somebody who they were desperately trying to rid themselves of without ridding themselves of somebody from Allen. And then they hire Rich Rod, and it's like, wow, it's a good thing we didn't lose this guy. Just overnight, because Tisdale's tools and ability completely fit, at least prototypically, what you see in Rich Rod's offense. Now, is he going to, you know, make some adjustments to it and some tweaks to the scheme with Corral and with the wide receivers and stuff that Ole Miss has? I mean, you could definitely see that. But Tisdale fits the offense of Rich Rodriguez 1,000 times better than he did the offense of Phil Longo.
Yeah, sometimes it's just funny how stuff works out. And if he ends up being a high-level quarterback at Ole Miss somewhere down the road, it'll be a big part of his story. That the old for a little while, it looked like it was a program that kind of wanted him to move on, and then he probably at one point wanted to move on, and Ole Miss ended up being his best offer, and they couldn't turn KJ Jefferson away from Arkansas, and it'll be curious to see how some of those careers go. It always is, you know, because there's the human element to all of it too. So, you know, how he fits into the program and that kind of thing. I just think whether it's Rich Rodriguez's son or whatever, I think they have to add some depth to that position. You can't go into the season going, hey, well, we have Matt Corral. Yeah, well, he's a human being. I mean, we talked about Victor Oladipo a minute ago. A guy can get injured at any moment. I mean, it happens in college football too. I mean, you have to have some depth at that position. Rich Rodriguez talked about at Arizona at one point, you know, in his last season there, they were playing a third, fourth string quarterback because of injuries. I mean, you got to have depth. I mean, and you can't assume that Matt Corral's going to stay healthy. You certainly hope he stays healthy, and you don't want him to get hurt, and you don't plan on him getting hurt, but you do have to have an insurance policy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I can agree with that to a point, but you don't want him to be some, you know, big name transfer. Like, I don't see them bringing in Khalil Tate, for example.
Yeah, no, and you know, the truth is, a kid like Khalil Tate is not coming unless he's probably guaranteed to be the starter. Jalen Hurts didn't go to Oklahoma so that he could compete for a job. Jalen Hurts went to Oklahoma to be the quarterback.
Yep, exactly. And it just so happened that he put his name in the portal and did everything like that after Oklahoma's five-star quarterback signed.
Yeah.
Which he was not pleased about. The five-star quarterback was not.
No, it's and I don't necessarily blame him, but, you know, you bring in that kid and he gets some backup experience and some redshirt experience, and then he's the guy.
Yep, because Hurts has 1 year. So.
Yeah, otherwise, if he's not happy, he'll be in the transfer portal.
Yep.
That's how that works.
And that portal, it's going to get over 2,000 people, football players strictly, within the next week probably.
I'll tell you who's not in the transfer portal is it's over now. Brad Brock signs with the Cubs. That's the pennant. That's the pennant. We have won the pennant. It's over. Everybody else should just.
Did you see the Dodgers just signed?
Yeah, but he's not as good as Brock. I mean, A.J. Pollock, come on. I mean, I'm kidding. The Dodgers are really, really good, and I think they're the favorite to get Real Muto. If they get Real Muto, they are one loaded team. I mean, it's fascinating to me as we wrap up and we're through with recruiting. If you're done, if you are only here for nothing but recruiting, you can go head to do something else now. Don't forget, go to deadsoxy.com. deadsoxy.com, enter promo code Rebel Grove. You'll save 30% off your order, and you will really be supporting this podcast. You'll be supporting Russell. We would appreciate it. I would appreciate it. Russell would appreciate it. Dead Soxy would appreciate it, and you'll get a great product. It is a fantastic product. You'll love it. Once you get one pair, you'll want two. Once you get two, you'll want three. They're great socks. If you ever wear dress socks ever, you need to go to deadsoxy.com, check them out, and then enter promo code Rebel Grove at checkout. Take advantage of this 30% off offer. You will not regret it. All right, last thing, Russ, are you surprised that Bryce Harper still isn't signed anywhere? Manny Machado still is not signed anywhere January the 24th?
I am, but I think it also goes to show you the state of free agency in baseball. I mean, you've got these young kids on the farm who are going to cost well under $1 million a year until they get to arbitration. And the programs, the owners, I mean, they see that, and they see the ability to be able to bring them up or to sign the veterans to small one-year deals instead of going out and spending $300 million on a Bryce Harper, who will obviously work out. I mean, you'll have him for the prime of his career. But you also don't want to see the Albert Pujols effect, which you still see, I think, in L.A. as he, you know, ends his career as a member of the Angels. I mean, that contract was really worth the money when he first was there. But kind of as things are going away, he's just a little bit overpaid.
Yeah, I agree. We're headed for a labor stoppage is where we're headed in a couple of years. When this agreement.
I'm petrified of it as a baseball nerd. petrified.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way around it. I'll be absolutely stunned if there's not a labor stoppage, and I won't be surprised if it's a long labor stoppage. And frankly, it's on the players. They agreed to a bad deal the last time. Tony Clark negotiated a bad deal, and the owners have stuck it to them, and the owners will pay for it down the road, but the players sort of made their own bed here, and they'll have to figure out a way out of it, and a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money, and not just players, but, you know, people that work in stadiums and work for clubs and stuff. It's going to be – I'm afraid it's going to be a rough go for MLB here when this deal expires. All right, Russ, look forward to coverage over the weekend. Chase and I will be helping you on Sunday, so we'll have complete coverage on rebelgrove.com throughout the weekend, throughout the visits, after the visits, and then we'll be back at some point next week with another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxie. For Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. Have a great weekend. Take care.